Welcome to KBOO, Grace Dillon. It's delightful having you on the OMO this morning.
And it's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Well, you are a professor of Indigenous Nation Studies at Portland State University, and you teach and write on a range of topics in Native American and Indigenous Studies, including Indigenous cinema, futurism, and popular culture. As a scholar of Anishinaabe descent, you were asked to consult on Antlers, a recently released horror film set in a decaying mining town. The film features the tale of Wendigo, a story that has deep roots in Native history, and particularly among the Anishinaabe people. So, Grace, let's start with how you decided to consult on the Antlers film project. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. I was invited by Scott Cooper, the director, and Guillermo del Toro, who made the amazing Wendigo and Creature. They just sent me an email in my PSU email box and said, "We've heard really great things about you, and we would love to talk with you about consulting as an Anishinaabe person for this." My family is from Bay Mills Nation, and I also have friends, family, and relatives at Garden River in Ontario and also the Sioux Nation in Ontario. And so I had the good fortune to grow up with these stories and also with my language in sorting some of this stuff out. So it was quite a surprise out of the blue.
To consult on a film
and
like this.
I was very intrigued. Yes.
Can you say a little bit about how the Wendigo character, it's an embodied character and the center of what is actually a horror story, a gripping horror story, how that character was realized in the film, and then perhaps your role in how that character was presented to a non-Native audience that is likely unfamiliar with the account?
Well, there have been other popular adaptations of the Wendigo, and there are a couple films that I thought, well, that's not too bad. But looking at what our own very important skull activists or community members, such as Basil Johnston, who's Ojibwe, and he wrote this amazing book called Manitos, The Supernatural World of the Ojibwe, in 1995. And there he describes, because if you take a look at stories of Wendigo, you could have it going all over the place. But Basil's really good at bringing it together. And he talks about the Wendigo as a giant manito, which for us means both spirit and mystery. Like our Yiji manito is actually our benevolent spirit or creator, but it evokes both a sense of a spirit entity, but also mystery. And so that's where, with the Wendigo, there's some openness for genuine, what we call Gwaikwajimoan, Adazukawin, or truth story and sacred storytelling, because Wendigo does end up being in our Adazukanan rage. And the Wendigo here is this giant manito in the form of a man or a woman, or it can be shaped, as it is with antlers, into the figure of Mitsukumikwa herself, Mother Earth. And it's generally 5 to 8 times above the height of a tall man. The giant is in height, is afflicted with a never-ending hunger. It can never get enough to eat. It's always on the verge of starvation. It's always gaunt to the point of emaciation. And its skin is pulled tautly over its bones. And the Wendigo, therefore, is a giant skeleton almost. And it becomes very unclean. It's suffering from suppurations of the flesh. It gives us an eerie odor of decay and decomposition, of death and corruption. And where the story is first started, there it's connected to dark storms that come up, and then you start having these brutal winds that start taking place. And then often, you know, a terrifying blizzard that's extremely, extremely cold. And the Wendigo, during this, with all of this happening is eating, and it grows. And the problem is it can never be satiated. It has a natural appetite because it remains very gaunt and starved since it just expands and grows in size. And so us, the Wendigo, comes from Wendigo, which means solely for the self. So it's a sense of real selfishness. And it also comes from the word Weninen Nede Ego, which means excess or greed. And so that's the Wendigo, is its opposite then of living in harmony and balance, which we as Nish people believe in very strongly, of balance and moderation, self-control, or being a deity one, living a good life. And part of that is to have a deep respect for the rights of animal persons and nations around you, and also Nitsukumikwa, Mother Earth.
So Antlers, in the film, the director, Cooper, was enlisting this film as an allegory for a town that's quite lost, becoming a ghost town through drug addiction and the mining industry, but also it operates as an allegory, it was intended to be an allegory for global warming and the climate crisis. First, could you say a bit about how you think about Native stories as memories or accounts of events passed down, fables, myths, allegories? I mean, I've even struggled with how to describe Wendigo as a Native story. You have a way of thinking about those distinctions. Can you say a bit about that, and then perhaps how the character of Wendigo operates as an allegory in the film?
First of all, our language is embedded with allegory, our more sophisticated versions, not the baby use of the language. And so that is just inherent within our own language, so that when you describe the Wendigo, you can have someone like Winona LaDuke wrote a book in 2020 called To Be a Water Protector, The Rise of the Wendigo Slayers. And she makes it very clear there, as do all of us as we talk about it, is the fluidity of the image. And she talks about Wendigo economics that we have currently that has become an era of extreme extraction. And for her, extreme extraction is when you blow the tops off of 500 mountains in Appalachia, coal for export to Asia. So that link very strongly to the mining town in, again, that this film is set in, where you've had extreme extraction going on and now it's a decaying and barely used mama because of that extreme extraction. For her, her whole book is about stripping mine tars from the oil sands of northern Alberta and turning entire first communities into sacrifice zones. It's also about injecting hundreds of millions of gallons of chemical-laced water into the bedrock of Mother Earth. At such pressures, you cause earthquakes on this extreme thing. So the allegorical aspect becomes very fluid. It can refer to residential boarding schools and afflictions that were caused there. It can refer to a person who picks up on a spirit of greed and excess and then passes it on to others. That takes place. One thing that might stand out as unusual for Antlers, first of all, it's set in Oregon, and most of the Wendigo stories come from northern forests. But we as Nish people understand this sense of moronic qualities. So the character that Guillermo del Toro created is this excessive, hyper excessive growth and decay and destruction all at once on the very creature itself.
The creature is a victim as well as the humans victimized.
That is an
interesting cannibal, right?
Aspect. Yeah, it what we call a macho manadu, which is a bad spirit. But at the same time, you're absolutely right. It is something that, well, Basil Johnston, in his own book, he writes a whole chapter on it, and at the end, talking about all the extraction and the plowing down of our forests that were taking place in timber. So it really does become connected to greed and is the opposite of Sake Simpson, who's also in her book, As We Have Always Done, Indigenous Freedom Through Radical Resistance, and I think that's 2017. She talks about how we stories growing up as a means of what not to do. It's important to live in a deep one. So living a good life is being generous, warm-hearted, compassionate, filled with love, and taking care of others. And those are embedded practices. And so we actually redistribute wealth within our own community. We share in our niche version. We didn't have chiefs. We had no hierarchy of that kind until the U.S. government kind of forced us into those situations.
Yeah.
But we be the person that would be the opposite of a Wendigo, as the one who was living the most simply and quietly, but was incredibly generous and would help others.
Grace Dillon, it has been wonderful having you on the OLMO this morning and talking about your own experience consulting on the film Antlers, which is still playing in theaters in Portland, and also all of the layers of potential meaning and ways of understanding more deeply that image, the story and the character that was at the heart of the story, and for your contributions to helping non-Native people recognize the complexity of storytelling and the indebtedness we have to Native and Indigenous communities around both storytelling and understanding the climate crisis. Thanks for being with us today. I look forward to having you back on the OLMO to talk further, including about your own work in Indigenous futurism, which is an area where you've established a subgenre. So thank you so much, Grace Dillon, for being here today.
Oh, Jamie, thank you very much.